This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good morning, Father Tom, and today Father Matt Williams is with us today. Today we celebrate the Feast of the Priesthood, the giving of the priesthood. Jesus said, take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Today we celebrate Holy Thursday. Today we celebrate the institution of the priesthood, the institution of the body and blood, soul and divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ, the institution of service as we wash each other's feet. Oh, today, Holy Thursday, institution of the priesthood. As often as you do these things, do them in memory of me. And I'm telling you, it's not remember with your head. It's making present. Making present the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the priest was born to do. Make present the precious body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for his people, the church. That's what it's all about. But don't forget, before we receive the precious body and blood of the Lord, we proclaim the word of God. Oh, how important it is to proclaim the word of God, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Today I have with me Father Matt Williams. I want him to tell me about what he thinks about Holy Thursday, about the giving of the priesthood, about the giving of the Eucharist.
Thank you, Father Tom. Great to be with you all today, and just humbled and blessed to be invited on this day we call Holy Thursday, the beginning of our Triduum, to be on radio with you. And I always like to joke and say that this is the Super Bowl week of the church's year, as this is the most busiest and greatest of the weeks of days of the entire church's year, because it's all about the cross and it's all about the empty tomb. It's all about the cross and the empty tomb. The cross in which Jesus laid down his life. The innocent one dies for the sake of the guilty. He paid a debt that he did not owe, because we owed a debt that we can never pay. Jesus is the innocent. He's the lamb, the innocent lamb without blemish, right? He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. By dying, by shedding his blood, he expiates the sins of the world. But what makes this efficacious, what it makes it what it is because of the resurrection. If Jesus' body was stolen or eaten by animals, then he's not who he says he is, and that cross means nothing. Without the empty tomb, the cross means nothing. Without the empty tomb, the cross means nothing. And Jesus is no different than any other poor bum, right? Poor bum that had a following, they had a good message, but then at the end of the day, he died, and poor bum. But what makes Jesus Jesus, and what makes him Lord and Savior, is on that third day, the tomb was empty. And so it's all about that empty tomb. And because the tomb was empty, Jesus is who he says he is. And on that cross, he fulfills his words. When I am lifted up, I will draw all men, all women unto myself, right? When the Son of Man is lifted up, he will draw all men and all women unto himself. And that's what he's doing. He's drawing us to the cross. And so Holy Thursday, the first of the 3 days of the Triduum, marks the institution of the Holy Eucharist, the institution of the priesthood. It marks the washing of the apostles' feet, and Jesus giving us a new commandment. He says, a new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I ask you, what I command you to do. You know, prior to that, it was love your neighbor as yourself. When Jesus was asked by a scribe, you know, what's the greatest commandment of the law? And he says, he quotes the Shema, right? Hear, O Israel, the Lord is God, the Lord alone. Therefore, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your might. Then he gives him a second one. He gives him a bonus. He says, the second one, love your neighbor as yourself. In these are summed up the whole law and the prophets. It's all summed up in those two commandments. But on the night before he dies, Jesus gives us a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. A new commandment of love. It's a game changer. But here's the thing. How on earth could I ever love as Jesus loves? You know, this is, so I've worn the bracelets. What would Jesus do? You know, WWJD. And those are great bracelets. And I'm not, the fact that we're thinking about how should I act like Jesus in this moment, that's a great thing, right? That all that the world would be more aware of what Jesus would do in this moment, right? Oh, that the world would that every day that we would say, well, how would Jesus handle this moment? And there's nothing wrong with saying that. There's nothing wrong with wearing a bracelet that says, hear me now, okay? There's nothing wrong with wearing WWJD, right? There's nothing wrong with asking, what would Jesus do, right? But here's the thing. Christianity is a religion of transformation through the power of the Holy Spirit. How could we love one another as Jesus loves us? No mere human being can do that. The best of men are men at best, and the best of women are women at best. There's no way that we could love as he's loved us unless we're transformed, unless our minds are renewed, St. Paul says, right? The renewal of our minds, the transformation of our hearts through the grace of the Holy Spirit, through the grace of God that comes to us through baptism and confession and Holy Eucharist. The Lord not only tells us to follow his example, but he gives us the Spirit so that we can think with the mind of Christ and we can operate in a power that's greater than ourselves. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The Holy Spirit. Jesus comes to give us the Holy Spirit. He comes to give us grace. And so the means by which this grace would be opened up to us would be through holy orders, through the priests, the instrumentality of the priests. Our religion as Catholics is one of mediation. It's one of mediation. Grace comes to us in so many ways, and it is mediated. It is mediated. It needs a vehicle by which it comes into us. Mediation. You know, if I said to you, I'm going to pray for you, right? I'm asking God, so you're relying on somebody else to pray to the Lord that God's grace would come, right? There's someone that's kind of mediating for you, right? A mediator is someone that goes in between, right? Now, Jesus is the one mediator between God and man. I understand. And all grace comes through Jesus. But like, why do we pray for each other? Right? Because we need each other to pray. We've been told that we're called to intercede for each other. And so my praying for you, I'm mediating with the Lord. I'm saying, Lord, will you pour out and bless Father Tom today and give him a good day today? And I'm praying for graces, special graces, that God will pour forth special graces upon him. Mediation happens through the sacraments. Well, Jesus, in the Gospels, people touched the hem of his garment and they were touched. They were changed. The woman with the issue of blood was totally healed by touching the hem of his garment. That garment mediated grace to that woman. The healing was mediated through that grace. The apostles used oil to heal the sick. They used oil. That grace became a form of mediation, right? Through the oil that was placed in the name of the Lord Jesus, people were healed. Our church, our system of grace. Now God can touch you. I read the word of God and grace is touching me. I could be walking through the day, walking out in the beautiful sunny day, and God's grace can hit me in all kinds of ways, right? And God chooses to use vessels by which he mediates grace to us. If I prayed over Father Tom today, God's going to use this broken vessel, this earthen vessel, to mediate grace to him. He's going to use this instrument. I'm an instrument of grace, very imperfect. So in the Catholic Church, we have the sacraments. And here's the thing, Father Matt praying of you, it's one broken vessel praying over another broken vessel. But when we use the sacraments, when we pray with the sacraments, we say, are efficacious. They affect what they signify. They do what they say they do. So when you're baptized, just as water cleanses and brings life, when you're baptized, you are cleansed of sin, original and personal sin, and you receive the new life of the Holy Spirit. When you receive communion, when bread is made, it's the many forms of wheat that die that are made into one loaf. Or the wine, many grapes are crushed to form the wine. Just as the individual parts create one, so when we receive Holy Communion, we become one with the Lord and with each other. The Lord established the holy priesthood, beginning with the apostles. The priests, the presbyters, are co-workers of the apostles. And Jesus Christ established a system by which the church would be led by elders, by presbyters and apostles, and the successors of the apostles are the bishops. You know, we have that. That goes back. We can trace every successor of St. Peter on the throne of Rome. Peter, and we have Peter, Linus, Cletus, Clement, Sixtus, those are the early successors. And do you know, for the first couple hundred years, every successor of St. Peter, every bishop of Rome died as a martyr. He died giving his life for Jesus, the ultimate expression of witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus established the priesthood, a form of mediumship, sharing in the one eternal priesthood of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the great high priest, and Father Tom and I are blessed to share in his priesthood. It's not my priesthood. It's Jesus' priesthood. And Jesus invites Father Tom and myself to share in that priesthood, and all those who are validly ordained, to share in that priesthood, to be an intercessor, and to be one who mediates that grace that God would work through us. When you go to confession to the priest, to a priest, Jesus Christ works through that priest to mediate grace, sanctifying grace in which your sins are truly forgiven. That priest who stands at the altar and celebrates Holy Mass, God works through that broken vessel in which Calvary and the resurrection is represented. So, Father, as you've been saying, how is this? It's like it's everything. This Holy Thursday is everything because Jesus established this system of the priesthood, right? The system in our religion, the sacramental system, right, in which he has instituted the priesthood in the Holy Eucharist to perpetuate the sacrifice of Calvary and the empty tomb, that every time we gather for Mass, the holy sacrifice of Mass is represented, not represented, represented, presented anew. And here's an interesting thing. We've been praying this 33 Days to Eucharistic Glory from Dynamic Catholic, Matthew Kelly. And he was talking in one of the days, he was talking about the Last Supper. And he said, you know, if Jesus was speaking metaphorically or figuratively about the Eucharist, right? He says this, he goes, if you've only got one day left to live and you're meeting with your friends, do you think that would be a good time? If you're talking about your will, do you think that's a good time to speak figuratively and metaphorically? Or are you going to be very clear with them? Are you going to be very clear with them and like, no, this is what I mean? Or are you going to say, no, I'm going to speak metaphorically and figuratively and have you figure it out as I leave my will and testament with you? I thought it was really, really great. So like, why do we believe that's Jesus? Because he said so. This is my body. This is my blood. And so, Father Tom, it is such a gift to be able to be here with you on this Holy Thursday and to share and talk about the priesthood and the Eucharist, this new commandment of love, the washing of the feet, and the great, awesome Paschal mystery that we celebrate. Father, I'm going to hand it back to you now. I know I've just said a lot. I said a lot of things.
I'm telling you, God is so wonderful that on the night before Jesus died, he gave us his body and blood. He instituted the priesthood until he comes again. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim, make present the Lord. Until he comes in glory. How many people have rejected and gone away from the Holy Eucharist? They turned only to the Word. Remember what happened in the 6th chapter of St. John. After he says, I am the bread of life, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, he who eats me will live because of me. This is the bread come down from heaven, the bread of life. On the night before he died, he gave us the bread come down from heaven. And we do this in memory. I'm not thinking of remember, not memory. Make present. That's the memory. Make present our redemption. Make present the cross of Jesus. Make present the death of Jesus. Make present the burial of Jesus. Make present the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, do this in memory of me until I come in glory. And we as Catholics have done it for 2,000 years. But I'm going to tell you, we have not been so committed to the Word of God as we are to the Eucharist. And God calls us to submit to the Word of God because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. It is so important that at every Mass, the first thing that happens is the proclamation of the Word of God. No other word can be given at Mass, only the Word of God. Only God's Word the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. No other reading. Not from, I remember once I was at, when I was a young priest, they were going to get married, this man and woman. They said, can we have a reading from the prophet Cahil Gibran? I said, oh no, no, it's not good enough. We have a reading from the Holy Bible. The prophet Cahil Gibran is dead, never came back to life. Mm. We proclaim and we believe that the readings of the gospel is from him who died for us and who rose from the dead. He is not dead, he's alive.
That's right.
Cahil Gibran, he's gone. He's gone. Jesus is not gone. He is alive. Today is Holy Thursday. Some people call it Maundy Thursday. I don't care what you call it. But it is the time when the Lord Jesus Christ gave to the church his body and his blood. And so many people have walked away from Jesus' body and blood. It happened in the sixth chapter of St. John. Many of his disciples, they were not Sunday Catholics. They were disciples who left father and mother, sister and brother, homes and lands, and they left. Because he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Jesus did not call them back. Why? Because he meant what he said, and he said what he meant. Let them go. I tell you, there's so many people that have walked away from the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, just like what happened in the sixth chapter of St. John. Jesus says, let them go. They don't know what they're walking away from. My very presence, my very being, my very death and resurrection. They have no idea if they walk away from the Blessed Sacrament.
You know, in there's definitely a correlation between the preaching of the gospel and the receiving of the Holy Eucharist. And we see this dynamic of the word leads to the celebration of the Eucharist, the complementarity of the two. We see this in the road to Emmaus. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself because we're not at Easter yet. And I will, but what was going on that Easter Sunday on the road to Emmaus, Jesus was, Scott Hahn says, as he was doing a Bible study with those disciples on that road to Emmaus, as he was going through the Old Testament prophets and showing all the, in the Old Testament, all the prophecies that had to do with him, and particularly with his dying and his rising. And then at the end of that Bible study, he sits down with them to break bread. And it was in the breaking of the bread, which is Eucharistic, he disappears. And they say, were not our hearts burning within us, right? So I think in many ways, as Catholics, we've failed to evangelize every generation. We failed to have people have experienced that burning moment where they know the Lord is real and that he's their Lord. It's one thing for me to say objectively, Jesus is Lord. It's another thing for me to say subjectively, Jesus is my Lord. And I think, you know, we've failed, and we just assume by getting them into this system, go to CCD, go to Catholic schools, that they're going to become a born-again Catholic, you know, and they're going to say, Jesus is my Lord, you know. And the system, it did not produce the fruit that it was supposed to. And the reason why I can say that is because look at our numbers, you know. So we had lost sight of the evangelical thrust and the need. Every generation needs to be evangelized anew. And how can I say this? John Paul II, actually being Paul VI, called for a new evangelization, right? A new evangelization in which that would be targeted towards the non-practicing Catholic, essentially, right? For whatever reason, their faith has grown cold, right? Because we failed to evangelize our very own, you know. There's a direct correlation towards transformation, the evangelization of the church, and then the relief of the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. You know, the statistics that come out about the number of Catholics who do not believe in the true presence, I would imagine there's a similarity there. It corresponds to whether you can have a personal relationship with a personal God. Do they know the Lord personally? Can they be able to say, Jesus, my Lord? And I bet you there's a correlation there, because believing leads to eating. You know, in the Ignatius Study Bible, when they break open John chapter 6, you know, they'll kind of show that, like, you know, the first part, when Jesus says, I'm the bread of life, he actually could be speaking metaphorically, because to believe in him is to consume him, is to take him into your heart. You know, just like you would digest a piece of bread, to believe is to digest him into your life, to be totally transformed, renewed, to assimilate him into every aspect of your life, right? And then the Ignatius Study Bible then says, but the second part, I think in the, around verse 52 or so and following, it then is specifically speaking about consumption, food consumption, the Eucharist. And St. John in the Greek uses this word trogo, which means to gnaw or to chew. And that word trogo was used a lot of times for animals when they gnaw or chew on hay or something like that. So now Jesus, the Holy Spirit, as John writes, records this gospel, is showing us Jesus is meaning something different here now. He wants us to literally chew on him, consume him in the Holy Eucharist. So we could say that that believing is consuming him, and then as we consume him in believing him, it leads us to want to consume him in the Holy Eucharist. So faith leads us to the consumption of the Holy Eucharist. And how do we know that Jesus was not speaking metaphorically? They all left, and he didn't call them back. If Jesus was speaking metaphorically, they still would have been hanging out. But they knew that something was different. They all left. Now, here's the thing. When Peter says, Jesus says, are you going to leave too? Peter says, Lord, where else are we going to go? You have the words of everlasting life. So Peter's saying, Lord, we don't even necessarily know exactly what you're saying right now, but we trust you, and we're going to follow you, and we know we're going to get it because we trust you, and we're going to follow you, and you're going to reveal it to us, and you're going to make it known. And tonight is the night that we celebrate the institution, and I would imagine with Pentecost, that's when it all finally clicked for them, right? He had the bread of life discourse, he had the Last Supper, but then with Pentecost, it all clicked for them, and they fully understand that this would become the memorial of the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior.
You've left. The Lord told me you've left. And you've left the greatest treasure, the treasure of Jesus Christ himself. It's time to repent. It's time to come back to receive his precious body and blood. Oh, I thank God that you've been given the word. That's a wonderful thing. I could not live without the word of God. But you've left the one who left his own body and blood for you. Come back. Come back. Receive again the precious body and blood, soul and divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come back. No. That as you come back, you bring with you the great word of God that you've received, so that you will be a blessing to people. Oh, it's not either the word or the Eucharist. It is both and. I cannot live without the word of God, and I could not live without the Eucharist. Today, as I was sitting in the chapel, I was brought back to my senior year in college. On Holy Thursday, I was sitting in a chair next to a woman who wasn't Catholic. I said to her, tonight, I'm going to be receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is God. I'm going to be receiving. I saw myself in that chair in Mr. Sally's room, the one who taught geography of Africa. I saw myself telling her on Holy Thursday what I was going to do that night. It was so real to me. It's still so real to me. It's so real to me. So many people have left the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for the word of God. I tell you, it's not either or. It's both and. It's both and.
Can I say something? I just want to say, like, I know that with the church scandal and, you know, a lot of people have had bad experiences with priests, you know, and you know, on behalf of Father Tom and myself, we just want to say we're sorry. And for anyone that's been a victim of a priest not living up to his vocation to be another Christ, you know, in however that may have happened. We just want to say we're sorry. Father Tom would often say God's not responsible for his cheap labor. We do want to just say we're very sorry for that. Like, that's a tragedy, and we're sorry that you were not cared for or respected or loved or accompanied or protected in the way that you ought to have been. And so we just wish to say we're sorry, and we just want to invite you home. Come home. Please don't let one of our brothers, or even if it's me, you know, don't let us keep you from the Eucharist. Don't let us keep you from receiving the sacraments today. Don't let a bad experience with a priest ruin your whole experience of faith. There are other priests. The Lord wants to give you that gift of forgiveness today, and he wants to feed you with the Holy Eucharist. So I just wanted to say that. I know there are people that have been hurt by priests, and I just want to acknowledge that and just say maybe it's time to come home and, you know, give us another shot. Don't let that experience keep you from Jesus and the sacraments.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. In Season and Out of Season.